Penguin Random House Audio presents The Haunting of Haji Hotak and Other Stories by Jamil John Kochai. Read for you by Peter Ganem, Suhaila Elatar Young, and Fager Alkasi. For Jalil and Marwand. So, where are you going? The Holy Quran, Surah 81, Ayah 26. Playing Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. First, you have to gather the cash to pre-order the game at the local GameStop where your cousin works, and even though he hooks it up with the employee discount, the game is still a bit out of your price range because you've been using your Taco Bell paychecks to help your pops, who's been out of work since you were 10, and who makes you feel unbearably guilty about spending money on useless hobbies while kids in Kabul are destroying their bodies to build compounds for white businessmen and warlords. But shit, it's Kojima, it's Metal Gear. So, after scrimping and saving, like literal dimes you're picking up off the street, you've got the cash, which you give to your cousin who purchases the game on your behalf, and then on the day it's released, you just have to find a way to get to the store. But, because your oldest brother has taken the Civic to Sac State, you're hauling your 260-pound ass on a bicycle you haven't touched since middle school, regretting all the Taco Bell you've eaten over the past 2 years, but thank Allah, if he's up there, you ride with such fervor that you end up second in line, and it's your cousin himself who hands you the game in a brown paper bag as if it were something illegal or illicit, which it isn't. Of course, it's Metal Gear, it's Kojima, it's the final game in a series so fundamentally a part of your childhood that often, when you hear the Irish Gaelic chorus from The Best Is Yet to Come, you cannot help weeping softly into your keyboard. For some reason, riding back home is easier. You leave the bike behind the trash cans at the side of your father's house and hop the wooden fence into the backyard, and if the garage door is locked, which it is, you've got to take a chance on the screen door in the backyard, but lo and behold, your father is ankle deep in the dirt, hunched over, yanking at weeds with his bare hands the way he used to as a farmer in Logar, before war and famine forced him to flee to the western coast of the American Empire, where he labored for many years until it broke his body for good. And even though his doctor has forbidden him to work in the yard, owing to the torn nerves in his neck and spine, which you know from your mother were first damaged when he was tortured by Russians shortly after the murder of his younger brother Watak during the Soviet War, he is out here clawing at the earth and its spoils, as if he were digging for treasure or his own grave. Spotting you only 4 feet away from the sliding glass door, he gestures for you to come over, and though you are tired and sweaty, with your feet aching and the most important game of the decade hidden inside your underwear, you approach him. He signals for you to crouch down beside him, then he runs his dirty fingers through his hair until flakes of his scalp fall onto his shoulders and his beard. This isn't good. When your father runs his hands through his hair, it is because he has forgotten his terrible flaking dandruff, which he forgets only during times of severe emotional or physical distress, which means that he is about to tell you a story that is either upsetting or horrifying or both, which isn't fair, because you are a son and not a therapist. Your father is a dark, sturdy man, and so unlike you that as a child you were sure that one day Hagrid would come to your door and inform you of your status as a mudblood, and then your true life, the life without the weight of your father's history, pain, guilt, hopelessness, helplessness, judgment, and shame, would begin. Your father asks you where you were. The library? You have to study? You tell him you do, which isn't technically a lie. All right, he says in English, because he has given up on speaking to you in Pashto. But after you finish, come back down. I have something I need to talk to you about.
Hurry.
When you get to your room, you lock the door and turn up MF Doom on your portable speaker to ward off mothers, fathers, grandmothers, sisters, and brothers who want to harp at you about prayer, Quran, Pashto, Farsi, a new job, new classes, exercise, basketball, jogging, talking, guests, chores, homework help, bathroom help, family time, and usually, mad villainy does the trick. Open the brown paper bag and toss the kush your cousin has stashed with your game because he needs a new smoking buddy and he sees you as a prime target, probably because he thinks you've got nothing better to do with your time, or you're not as religious as your brothers, or you're desperate to escape the unrelenting nature of a corporeal existence, and god damn, the physical map of Afghanistan that comes with the game is fucking beautiful. Not that you're a patriot or a nationalist or one of those Afghans who walk around in a pakol and kameez and play the tabla and claim that their favorite singer is Ahmad Zaheer, but the fact that 1980s Afghanistan is the final setting of the most legendary and artistically significant gaming franchise in the history of time made you all the more excited to get your hands on it, especially since you've been shooting at Afghans in Call of Duty for so long that you've become oddly immune to the self-loathing you felt when you were first massacring wave after wave of militant fighters who looked just like your father. Now, finally, start the game. After escaping the hospital massacre, you and Revolver Ocelot travel to the brutal scenes of northern Kabul, its rocky cliffs, its dirt roads, and its sunlight bleeding off into the dark mountains, just the way you remember from all those years ago when you visited as a child. And although your initial mission is to locate and extract Kazuhira Miller, the Phantom Pain is the first Metal Gear to be set in an open-world environment, and you decide to postpone the rescue of Kazuhira Miller until you get some Soviet blood on your hands. Your father, you know, didn't kill a single Russian during his years as a mujahid in Logar, but there is something in the act of slaughtering these Soviet NPCs that makes you feel connected to him and his history of warfare. Thinking of your father and his small village in Logar, you head south to explore the outer limits of the open world in the Phantom Pain, crossing trails and deserts and mountain passes, occasionally stopping at a checkpoint or a military barracks to slaughter more Russians, and you find yourself, incredibly, skirting the city of Kabul, still dominated by the Soviets, and continuing on to Logar, to Muhammad Agha, and when you get to Wagh Jan, the roadside market village that abuts the Kabul-Logar highway, just the way you remember it, you hitch your horse and begin to sneak along the clay compounds and the shops, climbing walls and crawling atop roofs, and whenever a local Afghan spots you, you knock him out with a tranquilizer until you make it to the bridge that leads to the inner corridors of your parents' home village, Nawe Kale, which looks so much like the photos and your own blurred memories from the trip when you were a kid that you begin to become uneasy, not yet afraid, but as if consumed by an overwhelming sense of déjà vu. Sneaking along dirt roads, past golden fields and apple orchards and mazes of clay compounds, you come upon the house where your father used to reside. And it is there, on the road in front of your father's home, that you spot Watak, your father's 16-year-old brother, whom you recognize only because his picture, unsmiling, head-shaved, handsome, and 16 forever, hangs on the wall of the room in your home where your parents pray. But here he is in your game, and you press pause and you set down the controller, and now you are afraid. Sweat is running down your legs in rivulets, in streams, your heart is thumping, and you are wondering if sniffing the kush as you did earlier has got you high. You look out the window and see your brother walking toward the house in the dark, and you realize that you've been playing for too long. You're blinking a lot. Too much. You notice that your room is a mess and that it smells like ass and that you've become so accustomed to its smell and its mess that...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?